Chalos, or what's a form of Shogeg? What exactly is that Talmud? And of course, the main Gemara in Makos that the Tosfos quotes already, that's the Gemara in Zion of the Beis. And you should look at the Tosfos there, and the Ramban and the Ritva there in Makos. Also, if you get a chance, look also at the Sugya in Makos, in the context of Golos. I don't know if I'll have a chance on that or not. In terms of the local Sugya, look also at the comment of the Pnei Yeshua on this question, here on Samach Ches, on the base. Okay, I may go into more, I'm not sure. There's an interesting tshuva, if you want to look at the Rav Chaim Mivolozhin has a tshuvas Chut HaMeshulash, Simon Yud Gimel, on Omer Mutter, that's interesting. And I think Rav Elchanan Wasserman in Kovet Shurim, Masechet Shavuos, Afyud Tesamin Aleph, also has an interesting comment. The issue also comes up in the end of Parak HaZorek, where the Gemara discusses the requirement of Tilas of a soul called Bishkaga. Again, what is the status of Omer Mutter when it comes to that issue? So just if you get a chance, the very last sugya in Parak HaZorek. Okay. Also, we're going to spend just a little bit of time adding to what we already discussed on how to define Zadon Shabbos. That's the Gemara on Samach Tes of Aleph. And look there at the Ramban, Dibur Maskel Baha. Also the Ramban on Ayin of the Beis, Dibur Maskel Elohim Kane. The Chidush Aran Samach Tes of Aleph, Dibur Maskel Bishlomo. Also the Tosas Rid on Samach Tes of Aleph, how he defines Zadon Shabbos. And also the Tshuva that's quoted by the Kesef Mishnah and Lecha Mishnah and Perek Zayin of Chishkagos, the Tshuva of Rav Avram ben Arambam, that they quote there. Okay, so those will try to do these quickly, Omer Mutter and Zadon Shabbos, and then after that I'll give you a bigger list, I won't give it to you right now, but Munvaz v'Chachamim, how do we define Shkaga, the question of Shigas Karban, Shigas Kares, and Shigigas Lav, which of course is the main discussion of the Gemara and Samach Ches on Beis, through Samach Tes on the Beis. So that I'll give you, maybe on Sunday I'll give you the list for that, I don't want to give it too much at one time. That'll take us up, through till the Gemara of Mahalech and Bamidbar. Again, I want to go as quickly as we possibly can. That'll get us to Mahalech and Bamidbar, Samach Ches on Beis, Ayin of an Aleph we did already, we'll be able to move a little more quickly before we get to Ayin Gimel. Okay. That's the before we do that, we have to go through the Shaka Mataria here, of course, on Samach Ches on Aleph, through Samach Ches on Aleph, the question of Tidak Shanizba and Shakeach Ikar Shabbos. Okay. So let's have somebody read that. Then we also going to discuss very briefly at least, the question of Gershon is Geyer. So let's have Daniel Tabak. From, I think we're at the two dots. We finished the Shvius Maestros Peah part of the Gemara, and now we're back. Now we're on to the to Rav Shmuel. Go ahead.
So Rav Shmuel,
independently. Okay. That's what we have to, really, before we get to that, we're going to deal with the side topic, but we just have to figure out, a little bit at least, or try to figure out, what was that Havamina about? Because it's obvious, or counterintuitive, or just neutral, what would you say? You're happy with it, though. On what basis would you say that somebody is hikar l'b'sof shachat should be chayav on kol Shabbos or Shabbos? I was curious. I mean, if I didn't have any information, and I just asked you the question, I told you tinek shenishba skayev achas, And Yada B'Shachach is Chayav al Kol Shabbos
and Shabbos. Are they actually saying that, or is that just an extrapolation that we make?
Well, it's definitely a Havamina that exists, for a few, more than a few lines in the Gemara.
No, I understand. Right. I'm saying, but do they actually say that, or is that just something that we think out of what they said?
I'm not sure what difference it makes. I mean, did Rav Shmuel say it, or is this part of the analysis of Rav Shmuel?
Yeah, I'm just curious.
I don't know. Well, I mean, according to the Maskana, they didn't say it.
Right.
So I guess they didn't, so it must be an extrapolation. But the point is, it's an extrapolation by men of stature. So it doesn't really matter. To me, it doesn't matter much. If I was writing a biography of Rav Shmuel, it would be interesting. But,
I'm just curious what their focus was.
I mean the uniqueness of Tinoch Shanishba or the I don't know. I'm not sure. But either way, the point is that we have to live with this, at least for several lines in the Gemara, we have to live with this Sahavamina that Shocheach, that Yada V'Shochach, Hikar Shabbos is Chayav Kal Shabbos is Shabbos. And I'm just asking, is that...
I think that would be counterintuitive.
It would be counterintuitive on the surface, because there seems to be more than one Shkaga. There certainly seems to be multiple Maisaveras beyond Shabbos. This is an in-between. In other words, if I say that the middle case is a case of a mistaken date, so to say the Chayav Kol Shabbos of Shabbos is extremely reasonable. I don't know if it's Mukhrach, but it's certainly reasonable because that's where the mistake was made, and that's the number of mistakes, or possibly the number of weeks. The only thing you have to figure out is, you do or you don't hold the Amud Shabbat time. Happen to the Lechalik, a topic which we already discussed. Maybe it's really one mistake and not every Shabbos a Shabbos mistake, but it's, depending on which of the Rishonim you accept, according to any of them, each in his own way, it's understandable that we have a parallel between number of Shkagos, or at least number of Averos, and number of Karbanos that are going to be brought. So that's not so bad. But if we're talking about Yodea of the Shachach, Iker Shabbos, so one would think, either it's Chayav Achas, because he doesn't know anything, he doesn't remember anything right now, he has amnesia, or whatever it is that he does, halakhic amnesia, or maybe he should be Chayav for each Avera that he did, for each Malacha that he did. That would also be understandable. But this middle position of being Chayav al Kol Shabbos, when that isn't the mistake, is challenging. Again, maybe counterintuitive is too strong, I'm not sure. But at least it's a challenging position, not an obvious one. Yeah.
According to cases before on Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur, isn't it just Xeris HaKasuv?
It may be Xeris HaKasuv, but again, it's saying something Xeris HaKasuv helps a lot. But initially we would want to understand what the Xeris HaKasuv is about.
But it doesn't have an explanation for how it's like. It's not really. Like,
I don't think that's true. I mean, I think we spent time explaining Tosis's.
Like,
what?
Is this like actually having the idea?
No, I don't think it's like actually having the idea. It's like the Ritva said, if you recall, which is, we're not saying Yom Shabbat time is like idea. We're saying it has the same effect as idea. But why it should have the same effect as idea, I think, is extremely logical. Namely, because there are days in which this Maisa Veira cannot be performed, which means that it's not a continuation of the same. You can't talk about a continuation when there's a gap.
Right.
When there's a gap which can't be filled, if there happens to be an incidental gap, maybe you didn't do the Aveira for several days, but you could have, that's one kind of a gap. And a gap where you're in a different time zone and you can't, even if you want to, is the kind of a gap that breaks up to the extent that Tosis isn't really sure that you need Xeris HaKasuv after all. That's Tosis's two deus about the link to Nida.
Oh.
And even if there is a need for Xeris HaKasuv, we try to explain that it's not so much that it's a halacha which is not based on rationality, and therefore it's based on Xeris HaKasuv, as much as Xeris HaKasuv teaches us that is it an Isur Olam or is it an Isur Zman?
Oh, right, but even with that assumption, is there any difference in between the day Shachar Eger Shabbos and Shachar Yom Shabbos Legavin that?
I think so.
But in both cases, there's Yom Tur in between.
Right, there are Pturim between in Tinoch Shanishba and in Shigigas Malacha too.
Right, yeah, so I'm saying, but it's only the Xeris HaKasuv that guides us to tell us which one is the one.
No, the Xeris HaKasuv may be relevant here. I mean, I think we're going to have to work in Xeris HaKasuv to any explanation that we have. But all I'm saying is that if the focus is, if the real Shkaga was on the Shabbos, it's a lot easier to explain than if the real Shkaga is based on Yidam Nietzsche. We still need to contend with what it is that the Gzeres HaKasuv teaches us. Again, at the end of the day, the Gzeres HaKasuv may just teach us the fact that this is so. Again, according to the Ramban's reading of Rashi in Yom, I don't want to do the whole sugya again, but according to the Ramban's reading of Yom Neshuvah Netayim Mechalek, according to Rashi, right, how does he answer the Gzeres HaKasuv? The Gzeres HaKasuv teaches us that this kind of a yediya is sufficient. You don't need Yaviyah Yediyah Sachet. Yediyah is what Ramban called... what? Yediyah Chatoso is sufficient. Okay, that doesn't tell us anything about Shabbos. It's not where the psukim that the Gzeres HaKasuv revolve around have nothing to do with that. It's a piece of information that we glean from, or that we extract from the fact that the Torah was Ma'arich. Could be. I don't think that's the best way to interpret Gzeres HaKasuv if you have other choices in front of you. Right? But if that's what it is, that's what it is. We're Mekabel it. But so either way, you want to explain where the Gzeres HaKasuv comes into play here. All I'm saying is that if the Shkaga is about the date of the Shabbos, it's a lot easier than it is if the Shkaga is Yediyas, Yediyah Pamachas V'Shachar. So it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a challenge, let's say. Okay. Daniel, go ahead. So the contrary, it sounds like the first case in the Mishnah, the Reisha is talking about the second case, not the first case of Tinuk Shadishma. Go ahead.
So, look, my call is
okay, which from a literary point of view is dochek, obviously. You have to say it, you have to say it, but obviously the logic the other way needs to be pressing in order to justify, you know, doing the literary injury to the, you know, to the words. Okay. Go ahead. Okay. Aval?
Aval, here's your Tov Shabbat, right? I will Tov Shabbat for Shabbat.
Okay. And just remember one other thing, and related to Sam's question, and maybe this is connected to what you said also before about, you know, whether it's Rav Shmuel or it's an extraction. We just have to remember one other thing, and that is that the nobody's twisting anybody's arm here, really. But again, it's not Muchrach that this case is going to be Chayv al Kol Shabbos v'Shabbos. Right? For all we know, it could be Huadin. Right, and you could chayv achas, or it could be you could go to the other extreme if you want to say chayv al kol malacha o malacha. Okay, so there, that also would seem to imply that there is some inner logic here beyond simply, you know, being forced to fit in the Mishnah. Okay, you'd still have to find a case for the Mishnah, the middle case, but I don't know if it would have to be shochet ikar Shabbos necessarily. Okay, continue.
So, since the next clause in the Mishnah states that if basically Shikha Shabbos, if we have a Kol Shabbos or Shabbos, let us teach what would, I assume, be the Chiddush, and say Nikar L'Sof Shachach, and then we'll be able to infer ourselves that Shikha Shabbos.
Right. And again, this just highlights the last point that I made, which is that you don't have to push this into the Mishnah if you don't want to. The Pashas of the Mishnah is that the middle case is the case of Shikas Shabbos, and we're not denying that at the moment. Okay. Go ahead.
So we have to obviously change what we were going to say before. So my Hayodei Iker Shabbos. So what's really the next case talking about? Misha Hayodei Iker Rashbos Shabbos. Avalosh Kapamai. Chayavah Kamlah Kamlah.
Okay. So now the Gemara has... escalated, you know, this whole Havamina significantly. Right, in what way?
By the fact that we pushed everything down, but when we said that Shigar Shabbos can be tied, whether just on every Malacha or also on every Malacha and on every Shabbos.
That's not clear. Okay. Okay. We'll get to that in just a couple of minutes. Or maybe we'll get to it now, or we'll get it on the table. But first we have to speak about Gershon Sky, but at least let's get on the table. Who discusses that? Yeah, but I mean, before that, who discusses it? You're right. The Marshal has a very important comment about it. He's responding to.
I mean, Tosus later on says later on.
Yeah.
With regards to later,
correct.
that it was something you could possibly think that Shigas Malachos might be.
Right. Two of the Tosas actually deal with this problem. Maybe what is the relationship between the various Havaminas of the Gemara here and the Sugya and Krisus, right, which I gave you a few little things to look at. I don't know if we'll get to it today. If we do, we do. If not, we'll get to it Sunday. Namely, the problem of, what's it called? The problem of Shabbos, whether Shabbosos are kegufin or Mechlakin, which means that you're going to multiply the Malachos that you do by the, not really multiply, but the point is that every Shabbos' Malach are going to be counted separately. It's not really multiplied because, right, the math doesn't always work out. So it's not multiplied. Meaning every Shabbos' Malachos are counted separately. Okay. So Tosas deals with that question. After all, Tosas points out a few times here that in Sugya and Krisus, they're Medayik, then the other what? From the Mishnah, from the language of the Mishnah, there's a Medayik against the notion of Shabbos's Kegufin, right? And yet, according to this new reading, or the new reading of this Havamina, or the next Havamina, right, you know, how do you know? Since it doesn't mean what we thought it meant, namely that the first case is, includes Shochech Ikar Shabbos, and the second case is Shigigas Shayom Shabbos, and the third case is simply Shigigas Malacha, now we're saying that the third case is Shigas Yom Shabbos. The second case is Shochech Ikar Shabbos V'Shachach. So once that, all the language of the Mishnah becomes open to reinterpretation, in some cases radical reinterpretation, so then where's the diuk that this Mishnah discounts Shabbos's Kegufin? And that's the problem of Bali Tosaf generally, and they give very technical answers to get out of it. What's the Marshal's view? Anil? You mentioned the Marshal, right?
The Marshal.
Yeah. You know, Hanami says, read the Marshal just quickly.
Okay, we'll give
it. I don't have it in. What do you have there? Wow. That Marshal and Maram and Maral. And I know they made those even. Wow. Okay. And on one hand, they make these Gemaras with, you know, everything you can imagine. And on the other hand, they have Gemaras without the Marshal. Wow. Okay. It's a wide ranging universe that we live in. Go ahead, Eliyahu, you have it? Kolshkein, I think. Kolshkein Shotafa?
Kolshkein. You were saying the Nira, she in a circle called MS, the Ode Iker Shabbos, in a Chayav Ella, called Shabbos and Shabbos, who are called Malacha. Who are the Ode Iker Shabbos, in a Chayav Ella,
So the Marshal says a very important thing. Right, Daniel. What's in an upshot? What does he really say?
I don't really understand his motivation, but he says that.
He's partly motivated by the problems that Tosas has. Right.
I agree, but it just seems strange to make the jump he starts out with Philip Shabbos causing Philip Malachos. I mean, bringing the comment for Philip Malachos, and then he flips it around and says it's true the other way also.
Okay, but basically, what is he doing? Structurally, what is he doing? Yeah. He's saying basically that the question whether or not Shabbos is kegufin or not
has already been answered.
Which the Gemara in Krisus seems to have a very strong view of in terms of the Mishnah, that is only going to be true according to our final accepted reading of the Mishnah. But when the Gemara is tinkering with the contents of the Mishnah, and the Gemara is considering the possibility that the relationships are different than we thought, namely that Shocheach Yodeh Iker Shabbos V'Shochach Shuhu Shabbos is Chayv Al Kol Malacha U'Malacha, when the Gemara thought that, so then all bets are off. It sounds like the Marshal thinks that conceptually you're going to look at Chiluk Chatos differently, and also in terms of the reading of the Sugya and the reading of the Mishnah, you're going to look at the issues of Chiluk Chatos differently whether you go according to the Havamina of the Gemara or the Maskama. In other words, basically, the others disagree with the Marshal. If you look at the Marshal Alatar, the Marshal says that the Marshal overreached. Right? You have the... go ahead, Yaakov.
So the linear Hashem Tzarech would call Zed, Devada V'fiyayim, Esviya Sagadayta, Haikam L'shan, No Ayin Shem Barach, Bein Darav Nochen, Diyim Kein, Habah Talya, V'yam Shemarein, Daha L'man Haligalei Darava, Sirle, V'yodeh Iker Shabbos, De'eno Chayav, Ela Akol Shabbos Shabbos, Lo Akol Ab Malacha Malacha, V'yodeh Shu Shabbos Chayav Akol Malacha Malacha, V'chayav Navi Akol Shabbos Shabbos Hudo.
So it's the same?
So he comes up with the Hechi Timsa on the Gemara, where the Gemara held of chilik malachos in one of the cases and not in the other case,
which shows
that just because you hold, well, he seems to have understood the Marashal. The Marashal was saying, once you hold a chilik malachos in one case, you should hold it in all other cases.
Right. Basically, he's saying that Marashal overreached. In other words, but what the Marashal did was very fascinating. What he said was, basically, you could formulate it this way. The Gemara here is you know, considering all options, and they're considering reinterpreting the Mishnah from our point of view in a very radical way. But the question is how limited is that? Right. In other words, are they just switching around two cases? When you switch around two cases, right, you can see that is a minor adjustment, a different perspective on those cases. Right. Or you might argue that the adjustment of two cases, especially if they're important cases, reflects a whole different orientation to the topic. In other words, we're switching around these cases because we no longer think that, like we did previously, you know, that factor A and factor B, let's say, are responsible for the number of chatos that you bring. The fact that these two cases are now going to be resolved in such a radically different way, you know, that puts everything up for grabs, basically. In other words, we have to reassess all the relationships and the mechayivim of chatos. I don't know if the Marshal is really going this far, but certainly in the structurally one could say this. So if you say, you know, we have a slightly different view of the cases here, but the principles remain the same, then probably you're not going to affect a question that isn't on the page here, like the question whether Shabbos is kaguf b'chlokin or not. But if the adjustment here isn't just an adjustment, it's a reassessment of the principles, then maybe we should relook at Shabbos's Kegufin. So the problem that Tosfos dealt with was, Tosfos was saying, well, how do you fit the Gemara Priestess's clear understanding that the Mishnah here doesn't believe in Shabbos's Kegufin with this readjusted understanding of the Mishnah? And the Marshal is basically saying, in Achanami, who says we have to? The Gemara Priestess fits in according to the Maskana here, because according to the Maskana, we're working with certain principles. But when the Gemara thought that these two cases in the Mishnah are quite different, radically different even, then it was dealing with a whole different perspective on the topic. And in Achanami, had it remained so, then Shabbosos would be kagufin. So we just have to explain. When we started off, I started off asking Daniel whether or not this change in the Gemara was, you know, was understandable, logical in every way, or whether it was more challenging than the status quo ante, than the previous perspective on the Mishnah, right? And I think we agreed, you know, hopefully I wasn't, you know, exerting too much influence, that it is a little more challenging, right? So now the Marshal really accents just how challenging it is, because the Marshal is saying it affects other. There are ripple effects of the reinterpretation of these two cases in the Mishnah, and I would suspect that they're not just ripple effects from a literary linguistic reading of the Mishnah point of view, but they are conceptual ripple effects. So we need to understand what's going on. The Marshal says not so far. There's no reason to go that far. Okay, we'll get back to it. Okay, let's go through the Shach and Tanya first, then we'll first speak about the side point, and then we'll get back to these. Okay, continue.
So, since we said Shabbos is kind of a lot of law, and whatever else,
Yeah, again, everything is moving up. The question is, again, so to say that Shochech Iker Shabbos is Chayav Kol Shabbos v'Shabbos, as we right now agree, is challenging, at least. And what about saying that Shocheach Shehayom U'Yom Shabbos is Chayav Kol Melacha v'Melacha? Probably not as difficult to explain as the first. But still, it's quite a change. Right? Because previously we were saying that the Shkaga, at least, is a Shkaga about Shabbosos. You can't be mechayiv him on Kol Malacha if he's not a Shogeg about the Malacha. Right? And now, in terms of, again, with the Marshal issue, again, it doesn't matter to me the Marshal per se, the Marshal. I'm talking about the broader question, which they're raising, which is, are there other things brought along in the process here? Are we reassessing the nature of the chiyuvim, or is this a minor adjustment? Again, the more we look at it in terms of a radical change, right? The wider the repercussions, obviously are. So this is probably not as difficult to explain as the first, but at least it raises the question: is this a package deal? In other words, we're now making two adjustments in the sugya. Shochech Iker Shabbos is Chayav Kol Shabbos v'Shabbos, and Yodeh Iker Shabbos v'Shachach Shayom Shabbos is Chayav Kol Melacha u'Melacha. So the relationship between these two new conclusions, temporary conclusions, but new at the moment. Just the reading of the Mishnah and the pushing of everything up, or is, again, there some different perspective at work here, which maybe in one fell swoop could explain both things. Yeah.
Why the second change less problematic than the first change?
No, maybe it isn't. Okay, well, we'll analyze it. I think it is. Just because at least you could say that, without too much difficulty, you could say, listen, even though the Shkaga doesn't relate to the Malacha, the Maisavera relates to the Malacha. So anytime you're Chayiv al Kol, let me say it this way. The category of being Chayiv al Kol Shabbos for Shabbos as a category, I think, is more difficult to justify and to explain. That's what I have in mind. Unless the Shkaga is about the date. Because on the surface, either you should relate to, what caused the problem, or how, the problem manifested itself. What caused the problem seems to be, his amnesia. Halachic amnesia. How did the problem express itself? In his being Mechal Shabbos. And one would think, Al Kol Melacha Al Melacha. This compromise of Kol Shabbos v'Shabbos and not Kol Melacha Al Melacha, when the problem isn't the date of Shabbos, I think is more challenging. The second case, you're right. So if you're looking at the numbers of, what caused him to err, right? The answer is, it's the date, not the Melacha. But in the sense that, and how did it express itself? Where are the Maisa Averas? It's called Melacha. So from that point of view, I don't think it's as difficult to explain. It is a readjustment, but it's easier to explain. But what is the relationship between them is still something to look at. Okay, let's continue. Okay, so what are they saying?
So the Mishnah is really speaking about a case of Tikkur Lashon Shafa, and Tikkur Lashon Shafa would have the same thing.
Okay. Is that problematic? No. That's a very appealing position. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Okay. So then, now we're saying something very different, right? But where does the Chiddush come in now? That's not that Yoda Iker Shabbos v'Shachach is Chayav Kol Shabbos v'Shabbos, but the Tinek Shenishba is Potter. But that's not, again, logically, it's not so difficult to understand. You might have to fit it in That's where the Omer Mutter question comes in. Right, you have to fit that in to call it Torah Kula, whether such a distinction makes sense. But again, logically, it's not challenging. In other words, we understand that there could be a difference between somebody who never, ever heard of Hilchos Shabbos and somebody who heard and who forgot, that one could be a shogeg and the other could be what Rashi calls, Daniel? Shlomo? David? Ones. Right? And Tosas challenges it. We haven't done that yet, but Rashi's what we have to do. Tinik Shanishba is Anus, because that's a different level of Omer Mutter. Yodea B'Shachach is Karav L'Pshia, you can call it, or Shogeg, whatever category you want. That's not Mukhrach, but it's certainly reasonable. Okay? Go ahead. Let's just finish the Shachar Tari first, then we'll... Okay, we had this. We read this Gemara earlier in the year, if you recall. It's a very, very important Gemara. Here's where you have the discussion of Tosis. We'll just repeat it for a minute. Namely, Daniel?
Tosis was explaining why we needed to bring in that each one. What would you have thought otherwise? Why would we need to say specifically that
correct.
You're going to be tied on each one? You said you would have thought that some point was talking
about
each one by a regular correct. Person.
That's the bond. That's the Tosis Rumas of Chayval Damachas. Yeah, and what does it tell us? And Tulsa Rush has a different shot.
Rush said that you might have thought that there was a category that included Kol Torah Kula, and then he said it might have been that in the end, really, there still is a category, but that's not what is
Koveya.
Right. Or we said that really it's not a category.
Or it could be, even if it's not Kol Torah Kula, maybe it would be at least Machalos Asuros. And then I think we noted the Aruch Haner, that's one possibility. Maybe it's Chela B'dam. So there could be three possibilities. Either Kol Torah Kula, that's the opposite of Tosas, of course. Not that you would have been chalek even within, but you would have, you know, been more expansive even on the other way, in the other direction. So either it's Kol Torah Kula, or it's Macholas Asuros, or it's Chela V'Dam in particular. And that's the Tosa Rosh. I suggested maybe the Rambam would have to interpret that way as well, because the Rambam quotes this language, and the Rambam paskins against Rabbi Yeshua. And if you look actually at the Maria Kurkus in Hilchos Shkagos, he also says these two pshatim, that maybe you think it was called Torah Kula, or maybe you think it's specifically Chelev and Dam because they're in one pasuk, because that's even an earlier reference in terms of the Chelev and Dam part. Yeah, I think we mentioned that earlier also. Yeah. And so but the called Torah Kula, that he has basically both deos, the Maria Kurkus. Okay. So that's very, very important. And of course, this is important to the larger question of, one shkagah, how you define shkagos, halachic shkagos, or practical shkagos, which we're going to get back to in this topic, obviously. It's an important price. Okay, continue. Munvaz was poter. Correct. There has to be a certain level of chait for a shogeg as well. Okay. Of course, Munbaz opens himself up to all sorts of speculation because, is he really equating shogeg and mezin? How far will that go? It'll eliminate shogeg on one side, tinek shenishba, and it may also expand shogeg on the other side. That's when you discuss the question of how to define shogeg, right, you have to be discussing it from the two, from the perspective of the two extremes. But there could be things that are not enough shogeg, and there are things that are, they're too much onus, and there are things that are too much nazid. As we'll see, Munbaz really defines shogeg from both perspectives. And the question again is whether or not there's a common denominator. These two different points of Munbaz, to exclude ones and also to expand the connection to Mazid, or are these one integrated approach of Munvaz? Well, we'll get more to Munvaz, we'll discuss it, but the Chachamim, is it possible to agree with Munvaz in part and not agree with them in the other part? Namely, to exclude the Chinuk Shenishba, but not necessarily to include, what we'll see in a minute, is the other half of Munvaz, namely, what's the other half of Munvaz? Not the restriction of Shogeg, but the expansion of Shogeg. Shogeg,
same that he had Yediyah at the time he was doing
it? Yediyah, Shigigas, Korban.
Oh, then.
Right, now this Munvaz really tells us, that's what I'm trying to make, Munvaz really says two things. Munvaz says there has to be a certain level of Avera to qualify as a Shogeg, otherwise you're an Ones. And that's because there's this connection between Shogeg and Mazid. It's a lot closer than you might think. That's Munvaz. And that excludes and restricts Shogeg, but it also expands Shogeg. Correct? What is the relationship between the two? Do you have to say both? Can you take half of Munvaz and not the other half? If so, does it change even the half that you take? But if you don't take the entire Munvaz, is what you take affected by your selectivity? Another question. It's a question. You may not find the answer, but it's something to ask. Okay. Munvaz, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yochanan, and Resh Lakish are really dealing with core issues of how you define Mazid, Shogeg, Onus, and so on. Okay, we shouldn't lose sight of that. They're important to us, you know, on a practical level, you know, in Hilchos Shabbos, you know, what happens if in this case, in that case, in the next case, but they're dealing with much bigger questions. Okay. Yeah, so Rabbi Kiva meant intending here to be helpful? Doesn't sound like it. Rabbi Kiva was really trying to cause trouble. in the finest sense and tradition of the word. It's a reductio ad absurdum argument, essentially. Right? He's saying, you know, what do you mean Shogeg is like Mazid? If Shogeg is like Mazid, then let him have a Yediyah too. So that was Rabbi Kiva's attack against Munvaz, meaning if you're going to exclude Tinek Shenishba because you believe, not only because you believe that there are certain standards to be a Shogeg, right, you have to qualify to be a Shogeg, you know, but not only that, the qualification is based on an equation to Mazid, so reductio ad absurdum. You know, so why don't you go so far and say there's almost no difference between Shogeg and Mazid? So Munvaz, being the, you know, the idealistic Talmid that he was, I don't know much about Munvaz, actually. I'm just basing it on, I never tried to really pursue all of his shittos and see what the pattern holds up, but in this Gemara, Munvaz, you know, heard Rabbi Akiva's argument, and it either was very, very clever or very, very innocent, and he said, you know, thank you, Rabbi Akiva, you formulated it better than I could have. Okay, go ahead. Meaning, what he's going to add later on, which is this idea, the other extreme of Munvaz.
Yeah, sort of
meaning, even if it's Shigigas Korban alone. I mean, you know it's Asur, you know everything, the only thing you don't know is that you're going to bring a Korban. Amarlo. So then Rabbi Kiva felt, you know, the need to, you know, to be upfront. He said, I was being sarcastic, I really wasn't. And thank you for the credit, but... I'm vocal on the credit, and I just what I was really trying to tell you was this is reductio ad absurdum. Okay. It shows Rabbi Kiva's remarkable integrity. Okay. I didn't want to take credit for something. Go ahead.
So this is enough to formulate the question that we hope to ask these horses. The Tanaimi, Tino. So we brought the case of Tino to explain. So the Shlomo, the Rabbi Shmuel, Nidla. Because they hold that Tino is also going to be Chaya, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon, and Lakish, Kashya. So it's going to be a question according to them.
Yeah.
So Amar La, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lakish, Lo, Miika Munvaz, the Patar, Anadam.
Lo Miika Unba Munvaz. Not Lo, but Lo Miika. Isn't there always a Munvaz?
Munvaz, the Patar, the Anadam, the Munvaz.
Yeah, so then the question the Rishonim is going to be, which we'll have to analyze, and that is, exactly. I mean, you know, the number one, of the two sides of Munvaz, you know, you can call it the Kula and the Chumra. I'm not sure what, how we define kula and chomer here, but you can still call it that way, because however you define it, you know, it'll still, you know, include both sides of it. So on the kula and the chomer side, are they accepting both or one? It seems like they're only for the continuation of the Gemara, their own discussion about shigas lav and shigas kares, it's pretty clear that they're accepting only one side of it. And then the question becomes, can you really accept, when you accept one side of munvaz, is your side of munvaz different than it is for munvaz? That qualitative question that I raised before. Is there something about an integrated munvaz, you know, for each part of it, or not? Okay. But either way, for the moment, the Gemara seems like it's saying no. Like, we're happy to join forces with munvaz on the Tinuk Shadishba side, just not necessarily on the Rabbi Kiva side. What I'm saying, even in terms of the Limud, though, is if the basis of Munbaz really, really is Mezid Ikra Chote, Shogeg Ikra Chote, and therefore there's not much of a difference between a Mezid, and we're almost blurring the lines between Mezid and Shogeg, if that's really the point, so isn't Rabbi Kiva's, you know, intended reductio ad absurdum that Munvaz said thank you very much for, is that really part of the package? And if it is, so then maybe the only way to hold like Munvaz is to say it's a limud, but we don't really mean it, or to say that we accept this conclusion, but really even the limud is slightly different. And that's what we have to look for. Okay, go ahead. Which is why it's interesting they have the next line of the Gemara. Right? So what's interesting about that is that's one of the things that needs to be looked at, again, structurally in the Gemara. Did the Gemara now just bring in a different limud for Munbaz? Or is this the same as what the Gemara said previously when it said that you know, is it possible to read the Gemara? We'll get back to this, but again, food for thought. That when we were talking about Munvaz himself with the full force of, you know, Munvaz, you know, in full Munvaz fashion, so all you need to say is Shogeg Ikri Chote, and the lines between them are very, very blurred. On the contrary, a shogeg is a kind of a mezid. It's an adjusted mezid, and you need to say nothing more. But if you want to accept the tinok shenishba part of munvaz, but not the rest of it, so you don't really want to say that the lines are quite so blurred, so then you need a real limud. You can't just say shogeg ikri mezid, ikri chote, mezid ikri. So this Mar brings in this additional aspect of munvaz, or the fuller limud of munvaz, dafka for Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is munvaz, as opposed to, you know, the purest munvaz. Maybe. Continue.
So what do we do with the
Okay, so this of course is a very, very critical Gemara. We touched on it a little bit when we talked about you know, the Ramban and Tosas on Daf Ayin Amud Aleph, and the question of whether or not you can ever, and Isi Ben Yehuda a little bit, right? The question of whether you can ever split between Shogeg and Mezid in this equation of Shikigoso, Chatas, and Zdono, Kares, Or, and Skila, right? So but this is where it comes from. This is the idea that there is this link. This is a coincidental relationship. Is it a causal one? Is it a common denominator one or a causal one? But this all needs to be looked at. Correct? Agree? Yeah. Okay, go on.
So going back to what Mumbaz was saying, so what's considered Shogay? So if you're going to Shogay with Karbon.
Yeah, so this is the other, this is where the other shoe drops, meaning this is the extreme one, Buzz. Right? Tinek Shadish Buzz out, and Shigigas Karbon is in. Right? And again, I was suggesting that this is just in terms of, again, reading of the Gemara, he takes literally, you know, Meze Dikri Chote, Shogay Dikri Chote, Yesh Yedia, also for Shogay. Okay, but Chachamim may be a little more limiting, a little more reticent than Mudbaz. Okay, go ahead.
That's not what we call Shogay.
Yeah, this we'll have to analyze. Is it that, I mean, the truth is I've presented Mumbaz so far in a certain way, and I think legitimately presented it as a possibility, at least that way. Namely, Mumbaz is really, essentially, Shogeg is a form of Mazen. Okay. The possibility also exists that it's not so much that Mumbaz believes that Shogeg is a form of Mazen, but... I don't know about that. I mean, I think that would be, in this case, that would be kind of semantics. Eliezer? Michael? What else could one say? Moshe? Say again? Not so much, I would say even more extreme, more different. David? Sorry? What is the default?
That Shogeg is default mental. Meaning that since, so really all it is Mazed. All it is one is Mazed, is like the ideal chiyuv, but without an aspect of it, by default you have a category of Shogeg.
Okay, well what's different between saying that, and I think that's a good way to say what we just said. Meaning Shogeg is a form of Mazed. In a way.
It is Mazed. I'm not exactly sure.
I'm saying, what you're saying might be a way to express that. I think that there could be more than one way to say it. But basically, and that's one of them. But that comes under the same heading as saying basically Mazed, is dominating Shogun. And that's why you can go all the way to the point of just Shigas Karbon. The assumption, when I formulate it that way, there's a certain assumption that I'm making. That's why I'm interested in Shalvi. Noah? Noah, right?
Yeah.
Noah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Right? What assumption am I making when I say that? That I've said. That's an assumption. But when I'm making an assumption, I mean, this is based on, I said, listen, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, they don't have to go so far. They can just say that Tinek Shanish was not a Shogeg. Good. Ellie, what assumption am I making when I say this? And maybe it may be a very good assumption. That's one of the things that challenge.
Grace stand for Shogeg, you have to bring it closer to Mazed.
To raise the standards of Shogeg. What do you mean raise the standards? I mean to raise the standards in terms of Tinek Shanish. Right, okay. That certainly doesn't have to be true for Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, that to raise the standards of Shogeg. I mean, if there are to be minimal standards to qualify for Shogeg from the Ones side, right, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to throw it all the way to the other, to Karav Lemezen. That's what you're saying. That's certainly true for Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. I'm saying even within Mumbaz itself. Within Mumbaz itself, so I have to focus on the other side of it. Ellie, mainly, what do I mean? What's the other side of it?
Really, instead of them being there, just made it minus or
right,
minus
right,
plus,
right. Good.
Instead of just sharing properties, the trolley is different.
Okay, I would say even sharper. I want to make a sharper point at the moment. Yeah.
Well, you're assuming that like Shigas Karbon is not such a big deal.
Exactly.
Really
exactly. The assumption that I'm making, which could be a very good assumption, certainly if you read Rashi, it's a good assumption. In the sugya, is that Shigigas Karbon, basically Mumbaz and the Chachamim, Mumbaz and his Barei Klukta, agree about the significance of Shigigas Korban. They both agree that Shigigas Korban is not much of a Shkaga. Use Rashi's language. Daniel, you have it? Right, so one would think that that would be the right Rashi to read.
Sorry.
Okay, you're right. Right. You don't have to apologize, because I would have read that Rashi too, but you're right. The real action is in the Rashi of Lo Shma Shkaga. Why do I say it? Because what's the assumption here? That Shigigas Karban is not Shkaga Vavera Atzma. And what will you say when you get to Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? The argument about I'm looking ahead, assuming everybody knows this already. Well, we read the Gemara once before. What's Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish's argument?
Whether or not you need the entire Avira,
Shigaslav, or
Shigas Karis.
Oh. So the truth is, if you're contrasting them with Munbaz, like, let's take the position of who says what? Is it Reish Lakish, right? Who Reish Lakish says even Shigas Karis or Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan? Okay, so Rabbi Yochanan is the in-between Shita. Rabbi Yochanan says, even Shigas Karis, Shema Shkaga. And right, that's Rabbi Yochanan? And Reish Lakish says, you need Ad Sheyishkog Belav Ubekaris. So the point is, if you're just reading what Rashi meant here, I think, Daniel, I think you agree?
I agree with
that. Don't do that. Yeah. No one wants that kind of agreement. Acha Shogag Bavera Atzma. That's the diuk, right? Meaning, take Reish Lakish. I mean, take Rabbi Yochanan. Sorry. Acha Yishgog Bekares. Is that Shogag Bavera Atzma? Yoda, what do you think?
Could be.
Depends on the relationship between the Vera and the... Yeah, in other words, but it also... But in other words, the question is, Kares is an Onesh, right? And Shkaga, Korban is a kind of an Onesh, right? It's also Kapara, but it's also an Onesh. So why is it that when it comes to the Kapara, of when it comes to the Onesh, also the kind of kapara, I should say, of Kares, implicitly we seem to be saying that that's a mistake in the quality of the Avera itself. And when it comes to the Korban, right, we're saying, no, nothing to do with the Avera, just a minor detail, right, just an extraneous piece of information about the Onesh consequences. In theory, I could say that Shogad Bukares is not a problem in the Avera. It's not that I've misjudged the nature, the quality, the character of this Avera. Well, I made a mistake. I thought I'd get a slap on the wrist, and I'm going to get a bigger slap on the wrist. maybe even more than that. But I miscalculated on an extraneous point by the same token. If Kares can reflect on the Avera, why? Because what we're saying is, knowing something is an Avera according to Rabbi Yochanan. Right? Knowing that something is an Avera is not knowing the whole story even about the Avera. In a dome, then, knowing about an Avera of Kares and an Avera of Beli Kares, it's a different Avera. Right, that's the idea here. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Yediyas Alav, Beli, Yediyas Akares, is not knowing this Avera at all. Not that that's what you have to judge. Not necessarily that the extraneous factor of Chiyuv Misa of Kares is more significant than the extraneous factor of Chiyuv Karban. But that Chiyuv Karban is extraneous, and Chiyuv Kares goes to the heart and character of what the Avera itself is. Again, we're doing some of the work now. We'll round it out. But Rabbi Yochanan may very well tell you one of two things. Right? Either that Kares has nothing to do with the Avera. It's like Kares for Rabbi Yochanan is, again, Right, keep mixing them up. Kares for Reish Lakish is like Korban for Reish Lakish, is for Korban for Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah, this time I said it right. Kares for Reish Lakish is like Korban for Rabbi Yochanan. It's extraneous. Or, even though that is not true, but still, you need the gap that you need. How much misinformation do you need? It's also a question. Right, what is the intensity of your shigigas aveir? So even if kares relates to the quality of the aveira, the discrepancy between the quality of the aveira is not great enough to constitute shgaga. It could be very fascinating. It could be that the debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish isn't even about the assessment of kares on the aveira at all. Maybe it's on the level of discrepancy that you require in shgaga, the standard for shgaga, in other words. So it could really be about one of three things: the machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, right? Either about the level of shigiga of discrepancy in shigiga aveira that you require. Or on assessing how much of a discrepancy is created by shigas kares as opposed to shigas lav, or whether or not shigas kares has anything to do with the quality of the aveir at all, or it's just like shigas karban. There could be three ways to explain that machlokas, and we'll get to it. By the same token, though, When we speak of munbaz, so if you want a sharp contrast, you know, in a clear perspective, so we can say, well, munbaz, we said before, that shogeg is in the shadow of mezid. The same reason that shogeg has standards that exclude tinok shigishba are the same reason that is the same reason that shogeg can practically be a form of mezid. And then what David said and what Eli said, these questions of being default and all these things may be part of the explanation, 100%. But we do have another possibility, which we at least have to look at. And that is that just like, I'm going to get it right this time, just like Rabbi Yochanan might be telling us, probably is telling us, that Shigigas Kares is not just an incidental point about the Onesh, but rather is, to use Rashi's expression, shigigas aveira. It's a total misreading of the nature and identity of the aveira, if you think that it doesn't generate kares. So too, munvaz might say that shigigas karban is not completely incidental. Shigigas karban is about the aveira, which is what I meant when I said that all the emphasis should be on the second round, not the right Dibra Maskil, but the second one. Okay. Now, if that were to be true, so then it's not that Munvaz would be telling us, really, that the lines between Mezid and Shogeg conceptually are blurred. It's that Munvaz would be saying that something that generates a Korban, something that doesn't generate a Korban, are two different types of Averas. And as such, there has to be significant shgaga, but shigigas korban is significant shgaga for munbaz, the way that shigigas kares is significant shgaga for Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so this is our task when we pin down some of the details for munbaz, Rabbi Yochanan, and Reish Lakish, is to figure out, are they arguing about the standards of shgaga? Are they arguing about assessing Korban and kares? Are they arguing about the fundamental relationship between shgaga and mezid? All three very interesting questions. How about that? Yeah.
We had a fourth, namely that they're arguing with Mechayev of
Korbanos.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I think that might be very much related to I don't remember whether it was the first or the third anymore, but I think it's very much related to the question of what standard you required for shkaga. What standard you required for shkaga may very well be dependent on what the mechayev of kavanos of shkaga is.
meaning is the Aveira is the car itself. Maybe
yeah, isn't the Aveira is the car? That's why, going back to what we discussed earlier, the relationship of Zdono cars is Shugas al-Chatas. I say, is it a common denominator based on the quality of the Maisa Aveira? Or is it done in the, oh, you think you came this close to a Chi of Karis? The Karis having a causal impact. That's what I meant by that earlier. I referred to our discussion about Ramban and Tosas and the Chidush Aran and Isi Ben Yehuda and so on, but that's exactly what I mean. So Eliad's point is absolutely well taken. I just didn't want to go into much detail. It could be a fourth, or it could be that is part of the, you know, the first or the third, depending on which order. If that's what we're talking about, we're talking about the quality of Shkaga. What is Shkaga all about? Is it about the Maisa Aveira? Is it about being close to Nezik, the possibility of a Chiyuv Nisa and Nezik, and so on? Okay, let's just get to the two dots. Go ahead. See, if I had read one more line, I wouldn't have fumbled so much in Rabbi Yochanan. Okay. Continue. Reish Lakish. But we finally got it right, right?
Reish Lakish Amar Ashish Gam Kalah.
Yeah, the cards. Okay.
So Amar Rabba Maitama Dirushim Bel Lakish. So Amar Kra Ashim Lote Asena
Ve Asham. Ve Asham.
So,
again, the limud might be helpful, so we should pay close attention. Again, we're not going to detail it now, but Ashalo se asena ve ashem. Okay. Achi yishgog bala ve kores shaba. Okay, go ahead. Is that a focus on the Maisa Aveira, maybe? Possibly. The Shkaga has to be in terms of it being a Maisa Aveira, not in terms of some, you know, what kind of Maisa Aveira it is, or whether or not there's a possible Misa component and so on. Go ahead. Yeah. We're going to have to discuss this also after we discuss the other things, but very, very quickly, but that's a big issue. Right, the possibility of a mumar, why is a mumar excluded from being a karban? And of course, the next line also, Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Omer.
Okay, so Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Omer.
Shimon ben Shimon.
Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Asher lo te'asen ad Hashem. Hashav yidiyaso, maybe karban al-shikaso. Lo shav yidiyaso, eno maybe karban al-shikaso.
So we have to discuss mumar and the problem of shav yidiyaso also in terms of karbanos. How they relate to Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, Mudvaz, and just in general, what that is all about. Okay, so now we're up to two. Let's stop here for the moment. Now, so the two things to discuss first. Again, we've already just done some of the work on Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, and Mudvaz. We have to go back, and see more details, the Rishonim, to sort that issue out. But at least now we know what it is that we're going to be contending with. The first two issues to address that are in front of us at the moment are an incidental point first, so we'll start with that, and a more important point. The more important point is the nature of these havaminas, to switch the meaning of the Mishnah. Why should it be that Shocheach Ikar Shabbos is Chayav Kol Shabbos is Shabbos? That's the most challenging. And what is the havamina about that? And also, less challenging, but also important, and especially if there's a link between them, why the Gemara thought that Shocheach Shayom Shabbos would be Chayav al Kol Melacha u'Melacha. That's an issue that very well may have to do with reassessing the Mechayiv of Chatos, or at least the nature of Chatos and Shabbos. We'll hold off on that for a minute. The Derech Agav incidental issue that comes up is another one. Namely, Tosas's problem. So let's speak about that for a minute. Shlomo, what's Tosas's problem? How can it be, just factually, how can you have a case of Ger Shinis Gayer, Bein Anachrim, who doesn't know Hilchos Shabbos exists? What kind of Gerus is that? So That's Tosas's question. What's Tosas's answer, Shlomo?
That he converts a katan, so it may have to be useless.
He says he converts as a katan? I don't think so.
Tosas's answer is that they did follow us to the Shabbos.
Yeah, read it quickly. Bifnei Gemol.
Bifnei Gemol, below the Yom HaShabbos, in this very little bit, we'll have here to read the Holies. They put it three...
Number one, Tosas assumes you can't have Geirus without a Beis Din, without free people. That's a pretty good assumption. Anybody challenge that assumption? Yeah, the Meir is quoting somebody earlier, namely Yoshua. Yeah, Sam? No, Tosas Yavamas doesn't hold that one, but... Dovi? Oh, okay. Good. What? Akiba was about to say the Rif and Yavamas, and he knew it from the Rif and Yavamas. That's good. That's just because Akiba's I think we established the other day that he was a Yavamas person. And we expect everybody to be a Yavamas person at some point, but it depends where you start. Correct. So that's the riff in Yavamos. This is a very controversial riff. The idea that you could have ger beino lebeino. The Ramban in Mochamos there on the riff, Akiva. This I don't expect Dovi to know because unless it's in the good notes, is it? But the discussion of the Ramban, Akiva has to know it because.
I don't fully remember, but
it's part of the privilege and burden of being.
I like between case of being old and not small and less than three, pick.
not so much that, but a very, very critical point. Does the Riff really, really think that he's a full fledged gear if he's this guy or being old and not small? Yoda? Also, we've almost expert.
Oh, no?
Exactly. So the Ramban considers, again, if you want to look at the conflicting evidence, the Rif sheet is very difficult to accept. It could be that the Rif is saying that he's a ger, but he doesn't have the ability to marry a Bas Yisrael. That's the idea of the Rif. Now that could work fine in this sugya. Right, if we're talking about the views of this guy, he's lacking a certain element of Kedushas Yisrael, but he has another Chai B'Shabbos, but he has no Elchah Shabbos. Okay, and that's what I think what the Meiri is probably referring to. But, yeah, don't.
Would that result be Sober Kava?
Sorry?
Would that result be Sober
Kava? Why not? It sounds like Ramban is saying that he can't marry a Bas Yisrael, but that. With respect to his personal status, otherwise he has a status as a Yisrael. So presumably it would be enough for Karla. Yeah.
Is that what the Rambam meant when he said,
possibly. We'll get that in just a second. Maybe the one in the Caesar would be a famous Rambam. In any case, that's the truth of the second point of Tosis. It's accepted by 95% of the Rishonim and the Poskim. But there's that rift to contend with. Okay, and the Miri quotes it, you're absolutely correct. The Miri quotes it here as well. Okay. As for the first point of Tosas, Bifnei Gimel, but Veloho Diyu B'mitzvah Shabbos. So what do you think about that, Shlomo?
Some people say that you have to say all of this is caused by
Chaburos. The Gemara Yavamas explains that Hodos Mitzvos, with an ayin, is... includes Kalos, the Chaburos. There's a whole list. It's hard to believe that Shabbos could be left out of the list. It could be the Gemara's is full of Chathchila, but the problem is bigger than that, even. Namely, not only is it not conforming to the list of Kalos and Chaburos, Elikai, but?
That you don't need it, but...
You don't need
to tell them about it.
We don't need to tell them about what?
Shabbos. I don't know if he's saying that you don't need to tell them about Kalos.
No, you have to, clearly, according to Bali Tosis, you have to tell him something. He's just saying that you have to tell him things. That's part of the, Tosis seems to assume that there is a requirement of Hodas Mitzvahs and Kabbalah Mitzvahs. The thing is that Shabbos could be excluded from the list. That's a simple reading of Tosis. The difficulty with that is, so Shlomo said, but Kaz Chabur, Shabbos is certainly going to be part of that. Okay. So maybe that's the Chatchila list, and Tosa's saying, but the Eved, a lesser list, but I would say, is that going to solve our problem? Alekha, you seem to be disturbed by something. I agree. I mean, meaning, is it enough to say that that list is a lachatchila list, and this is a b'diavad list, and the b'diavad list is not as big as the lachatchila list, and therefore it omits Shabbos, or is there still going to be a problem?
Your list should be a list. What?
Well, okay. I mean, a list should be a list is a really ambitious idealistic statement, which I like very much. But can we conceive that, you know, that there could be levels? We can conceive. But I think it's something more basic, yeah.
I'm not sure this is it, but in Shabbos, can I get a full mitzvah?
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to say you don't have to tell him every kalos of chamuros, okay, which is what you're saying. And I say I like it. It's an idealistic, ambitious basis for gayrus. I mean, you're crossing, you know, an unfathomable threshold in a way, right? You know, to be nichnas kachas kante ashkina. So we should require a lot, and it should be as serious as it could be. That's why I say I like Elikai's idea. At the same time, you know, can we concede that some things are more basic and fundamental and indispensable than others? Well, we can certainly understand that. One would have thought, this is the point that you're making, correct? That Shabbos would want to be one of those indispensable things. After all, you know, Shabbos, Shabbos. I'm not going to start crying or anything. Okay, in this case. But the point is that, let's just take the last halakha on the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos. Perek Lamed, very inspirational halakha. Who has the Rambam Hilchos Shabbos here? Last halakha? You don't by heart, Zvi? What? Yeah, but the Rambam has, no one has the Aryeh. Well, you have either the Rambam or the computer. You still have the...
I do, but
does anybody else have it?
Yeah,
the hard copy is better. Go ahead. Yeah. Wow. Very strong statement. That's the last drama in Hilchos Shabbos, correct?
Yep.
We could say it's the climax of Hilchos Shabbos. Okay, we learned dates a couple of years ago, so I tried to explain in the beginning, called the Vaze Samoados. The Rambam's formulations in Hilchos Yom Tov, Hilchos Shabbos. The Rambam, you know, like others, I mean, takes very seriously the Divrei Chazal, that Shabbos is Keneged Avodah Zarah. This is, you know, Shavek Avodah Zarah. Almost two poles. And, you know, the Ramban in his Perush Al HaTorah, if you want to expand it, you know, the first Ramban, when he said, you know, responding to Rashi's citation from Yitzchak and Medrash, as we already noted, so the Ramban says, isn't voracious the place to start? After all, Yesh Me'ayin, well, which the Ramban interprets as voracious, bara, as opposed to Yatsar, means Yesh Me'ayin, according to the Ramban. That's not just a truth. Last year we did a series on Yud Gimel Ikarim. I think we only got to Gimel or Dalet. Did we get to Dalet or the Gimel? But at least, you know, we also did Hagdama. So, basically, according to the Ramban, this is not just, you know, one of those truths, you know, in a Rabchazdai Kreskis sense. It's more than that. It's Ikari Amuna. It's something that is indispensable to being a proper Jew, according to the Ramban. And that's what Shabbos, Shabbat Shabbos, Mekol Malachto, Mubur Lechal Shabbos, Mubur Lechal Tarakul, Sugin Kulin. That's what it's all about. So if Shabbos is omitted from the list of Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs, that's shocking. Not just because we have high ambitions, even if we had low ambitions, one would think that Shabbos, based on the Rambam in the end of the Shabbos, and based on the first Ramban al Torah, so on and so forth, one would think that Shabbos would be one of the two or three things that you could never do without. Yeah.
How do we know there's any definite list of Torah?
We don't.
There's no definite list.
But what we do know is that there's Hodas Mitzvahs.
Right,
so let me formulate it a little differently then. Right. So the idea that there could be any kind of minimal Hodas and Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs absent Shabbos is shocking. Let me say it that way.
Yeah.
You're right. It doesn't have to be a list. There could be a list. We don't know.
There could be
some other list of indispensable, maybe about a Zara Tosas.
It's not like Shabbos would be on Tosas list. You're just saying like this.
Yeah, right. Well, absolutely, right. But so I'm reformulating it in a way which is just, you know, as far as I'm concerned, doesn't make a difference. Yeah.
Well, I mean, not the list, but Kabbalah Sal Mitzvos, it could be that I accept Mitzvos. That doesn't mean that they didn't delineate
any sort of... Yeah, it could be. It's very well could be. Either they say something, or they say, you know, it's a general commitment of sincerity and of commitment, where they're, you know, filling the blanks. But it's still shocking. It's still surprising.
Yeah,
it sounds like it. It sounds like this really... The Mari Korkus, by the way, also says this. We don't need it. I'm sorry. Sam?
I was just to say that if you'll say that the Hodiyu Mitzvah Mitzvah isn't really an educational... You're not educating him on what he's supposed to do as a Jew.
Five.
You're just letting him know what he's getting into, as it were. So it really was what has more importance and what has less importance.
Okay,
really
so then you're basically saying Hodiyu Mitzvos has a different function. It's not Kabbalah's Mitzvos.
Right.
It's a way of discouraging him or testing his sincerity in his interest. Could be. That's part of what we're... But the point is that you might then have said also that it's not Ma'akev at all. Or you could say it's Ma'akev, but it's Ma'akev, but Torah's that, as an effort to establish that he is really sincere.
Are we assuming that Tosis is saying it is
Ma'akev? At the moment. It sounds like Tosis, otherwise Tosis could just say they didn't do anything.
Well, it could be just saying that, like, Maisa Bezdin is there and they're doing this, so why did they skip it? So it might just actually...
I don't know. Yeah, it could be. It doesn't sound that way, it does to me, but it could be. Basically, by the way, the point about Shabbos in particular, yeah, Ellie.
Do you see that it makes no sense to meet somebody into a Jew without him having any mitzvahs in the first place?
Yeah, I think you could say that. The Rabbis say that.
It wouldn't really matter what mitzvah you gave him. Any mitzvah would be enough to make
him. No, I wouldn't say that. Any mitzvah? And if you tell him, you have to, that's a wonderful thing. You don't understand me. But, you know, and the rest is, you know, perish. But is that really enough to make him a Jew? Anything? You tell him Shiluach HaKan? I mean, you tell him the Rishis Agedz? I don't think that's true. I agree with your first point, meaning, I thought you were saying the opposite, meaning you can't compromise on Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs. What does it mean to be a Jew without Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs? That's what the Rav used to say.
No, I thought it was like Shabbos. If you did it, there's no essay, then it's the only thing that makes Shabbos is the Yisra Malacha.
The only thing?
That makes Shabbos would be the Yisra Malacha if you didn't know there was an essay.
Oh, you told him the essay about that? But the Gemara here is Tinek Shanishvi has no any. He's Eni Odeya, he's a Tinek, Eni Odeya Iker Shabbos. He never heard of Shabbos in his life. That's a simple Shabbos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't
it
possible
to view Shabbos as implicated rather than the mitzvah itself, which...
Okay, maybe. Meaning, we're speculating for Tosis here. Is that basically the conclusion we have to reach according to Tosis is one of the following. Right. Either we have to say that what Alan said, which is that Hodas Mitzvos, what I'm not willing to accept in Tosis is that there's no Hodas Mitzvos at all. It doesn't sound that way in Tosis. If you wanted to say that, then you don't need to say that he didn't tell him Lo Diem Mitzvah Shabbos. You can say there was no Hodas Mitzvos in this case. Okay. So this needs to be Hodas Mitzvos of some sort. So either we need to say that Hodas Mitzvos is for the purpose of discouraging him, or not some discouraging, or testing his the intensity of his interest, but the content is really beside the point. Or we need to say that there is some general Kabbalah Sal Mitzvos or Hodas Mitzvos that can be filled in, the blanks of which can be filled in later on. Right, the details are not important. Right, I like the suggestion that just made also. In other words, I hereby commit myself to doing mitzvah. Adi's suggestion. Right. I'll do mitzvahs, whatever they are. Or that so there is some minimal list, but you know it's minimal. Okay, I don't know if I would go as far as Ellie that you know anything or any mitzvah, but or that maybe there are certain basic themes that have to be covered, certain basic principles, but they don't necessarily have to be covered, you know, in the classic way. In other words, you have to believe in Yesh Me'ayin and in the Bria. You have to believe, you know, in you know a single Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yichud Hashem, and so on. But yeah, we'd like that to be done, integrated into the mitzvos that express it. You know, Kriyat Shema and Shabbos and Avodah Zarah and so on. But that's what you're suggesting, right? Maybe, possible. Yeah.
Based on that formulation, how would you explain the Gemara's change the text of the Gemara? It says Kalos Chamuros.
Yeah, that's right. So you have to say those are either lachatchila. Well, let me highlight it the other way. So I always like to say the other way because I'm a little bit in Elichai's derech. We learned Ksuvos a couple of years ago, so I made the suggestion then about Yud Aleph. We did some of these topics of Geirus then. So I noted the following: you have the list of kalos and chamuros. So the some of the poskim point out in the on the tour and at Shulchan Aruch that some of the kalos and chamuros lists don't apply with manazeh. So what about a ger b'zman hazeh? You have to tell him those things. Okay. So some of the poskim say maybe not. Okay. And I was suggesting absolutely. Okay. That's not going to be such a surprise. Because the issue isn't so much whether or not, you know, we have a commitment from him to implement these particular mitzvahs. It would be fascinating to look at the list in the Gemara of Kalos HaChamuros, or whatever list is Ma'akev, or really is L'chatchila, whatever minimal list is there, and to try to figure out why do they pick, why do they select these particular categories or mitzvahs. And the best case scenario would be that they really represent different dimensions, you know, of halachic life. Of the total. They're like, you know, proxies. They represent different areas of halachic life, the full range of it. Not necessarily every tayag. Again, let me make it clear. A ger who rejects any mitzvah, that's also clear in the sugyas and nivanos, any drabanan, any siag, is excluded. That's a different point. Meaning, you cannot in principle reject any small, even later drabanan of yadus and be a ger. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about what is necessary for the Kabbalah based on the presentation and so on. So what I was saying then was that even if there are things that are not with Marazah, he's thought to be Modi and Lo. Because that's what Yadus is. And that's the range. And the ability to implement is a secondary point. You know, the way the Rav interprets the Gemara about Ben Sora Mora Lohayav and Vlo Nivra and so on, meaning Drosh V'Kabal Schar doesn't mean that it's an opportunity to get a little more schar. It means these are concepts and categories that are part of Yadus, even if the actual ability to implement something doesn't exist. And that's true for that, which it is. But it's certainly true for mitzvahs that are not knowing Bismarck's. So that's the other side of the coin. And certainly, if we're talking about concepts and principles, what it means to be a Jew, what it means to be a halachic Jew, so of course, the integration of the concept with the actual halacha, instead of saying you have to believe in Yesh Me'ayin, so you have to believe in, you have to be Shomer Shabbos, you know, which is connected to the concept of Yesh Me'ayin, ain't a doma one to the other. Yeah.
Also, in terms of the first option that we had, that the Das Mitzvos is only to discourage him.
Or to measure the intensity of his interest, if you want to say it in a positive way. But the point is, it isn't so much the content. So the content is irrelevant, whatever the content is.
In the Rambam, I think you were as well, you tell him twice. You tell him once when he comes to you.
Or two hodos. Maybe two dinim.
And then once after the tefillah.
Right.
So what would the purpose be after the tefillah?
Right. I think shows for the Rambam, at least, that there are two dinim. But it's not so clear in the Gemara that it has to be that way. That's a good point. Again, I don't want to get too heavily to the Geirus issue, but you're absolutely right. It's a good aura. Yeah.
Just to say that I feel that some basic things would be covered. For example, so here, let's see, let's say that Shabbos,
right.
But you'll teach that the concept of, like Kosh Mandarits,
right.
Whatever that. Right. So, but wouldn't that in general be, like, against, like, wouldn't that be putting automatically primary importance on, like, the concession, conceptual aspects of the mitzvahs or the mitzvahs themselves, and that would be against, like, I don't know exactly.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's why I'm a little...
Against concepts of, like, first of all...
St. Dorsen's time of the Krah.
The Pashup Shad in, like, the first Rashi on Torah that we were talking about, how to think about the Kamban says on it.
Right.
Just that you don't need the rest of this, and also, like, mitzvahs and shrichos kavana.
Right.
Stuff like that.
Well, let me say it this way. I think Eliezer making is raising a very important Ashkafa point. And, well, I basically, it's a reaction to me understating the problem of all of this. As I said before, ideally, you would want it integrated into the mitzvah. But if not, at least you have it this way. And that's what David was suggesting. So I think it's an outside possibility. We're trying to explain a difficult sheet of the Rishonim here. How could Shabbos have been left out of the... but I don't in any way underestimate what you're saying. And I stand by it fully. Meaning, number one, what you're describing is two things. That mitzvot stand, and that commitment to Torah and mitzvot stand without philosophical understanding of what is behind them, is certainly true on different levels. It's Kavana that you quoted. What else did you say? Oh, yeah, the Rashi. Again, if the question is, what is more primary? Shmiras HaMitzvos or understanding of the conceptual underpinnings, I wouldn't want to choose one over the other, frankly. But certainly the case can be made, and for Chachmei Tzarfat and Ashkenaz in particular, that the role of the philosophy, let's say, is secondary to the actual commitment itself. But what we're talking about here is not which is primary and which is secondary. We're trying to figure out in the context of Geirus, to cross over that Rubicon, the threshold, the Kedushas Yisrael, what minimum do you need? And since I'm working within Tosa, since Tosa is saying you don't need to tell him Shabbos, so I'm just also pointing out that not telling him Shabbos is not like just like not telling him some other Chiyuv Nisa. Not telling him Shabbos is also perhaps compromising Ikarei Amunah. So David was suggesting, well, maybe. You know, for him to cross that Rubicon sincerely into being a member of Klal Yisrael, you can't get away without the Ikarim, even though you're not getting away without the mitzvah. We're just talking about in the Hodah with an ayin, meaning what he informs him on. So I think your point is very well taken, and I think Atosis is an unbelievable chiddush, and that this is a possible approach, but it remains problematic for exactly that reason. Okay, Brian.
Yeah, focus on Ayin Beis seems to imply that the only thing that's the difference between being a Jew and not being a Jew in regard to Giras is going up with Zara.
How does it imply that?
The line is, the Imbonu Gadol Yehola Yisrael with Zara, Eno Yisrael Kao.
Right. Okay, that you might say is even more basic.
Right.
I mean, as opposed to...
That would be the entire
list. Yeah. Well, I don't know if that's the entire list, L'Hatkhila, but the point is you can't conceive of somebody being a Jew... If he's an Ovid Avodah Zarah, I think that's going to be your minimum definition. If you want to say that, for example, Yesh Me'ayin or belief in the Bria, the Ramban says you can't be a good Jew without it. It's not one of the Kari Amunah of the Ramban, right? Even though it is Keneged Avodah Zarah and so on, but at least it's not on the list. The point is that there are some, the Raman would have said, Tovin. The Girsa we discussed it last year. Tovim Mimeni or Mimenu, who actually said, Yesh Meyesh, maybe wrong, but it's not Kfira. But of course, to believe in Avodah Zarah, is just a complete target sasri with Yad. So it's a good way of highlighting the problem here. What we're wondering is, are there Rishonim who say the same thing about Shabbos? And the answer is, that's what Mari Kurkas, I think, is saying. If you look at the language of Mari Kurkas in Chicago's, Mari Kurkas says, how can you say what Tulsa says? You can't leave out Shabbos. To leave out Shabbos, it doesn't say the words, not to be a Jew or not to be Geirut, but an equivalent to that. But what Ephraim is pointing out is correct. I mean, in Avodah Zarah, there's no room for even for this kind of a nicety. If you could be Ovid Avodah Zarah, but for example, what about Yichud Hashem? That's already a more subtle point. Well, it is and it isn't. That's part of the... It is. For Jews, it certainly is. Jews wouldn't consider non-Jews Ovdei Avodah Zarah necessarily because they didn't believe in Yichud Hashem. That's a question of how Judaism looks at Christianity. According to some. But for a Jew, in Achanami, Yichud Hashem is is... But what I'm trying to show you is that there are different levels, even within, you know, what is Avodah Zarah? Crude Avodah Zarah, subtle Avodah Zarah. I would agree with you that even subtle Avodah Zarah is totally inconsistent. I think we're going to have to stop here. We'll have to finish this on Sunday. But let me just say, somebody mentioned, Michael mentioned, right? The Rambam and Hilchos Yisurei Biyah? Yeah. So that there are people who accuse the Rambam, not the second perspective. So the first perspective here is the perspective of the Baalei Tosfos and some of the other Rishonim who say there is Hodas Mitzvos and Kabbalas on Mitzvos, but it can be lacking Shabbos. We've tried to explain very briefly what the problem is with that and what some of the possible solutions are and what some of the problems with those solutions are. The second solution is to say, and this is the one day in the Ramban here, it's fascinating. It's almost like if Shabbos is not going to be part of Hodas on Mitzvos, then you don't need Hodas on Mitzvos, then you don't need Hodas Mitzvos, period. Right? In Kvar Az Kvar. You can't have one without a certain level of integrity. That in itself is fascinating. But of course, what does it mean that there's no Hodas Mitzvos? So here I think there are two perspectives. One is the perspective that in general Hodas Mitzvos is in Chiyuv L'chatchila, Bodhiyam, ideally, but it's not Makir. The Gemaras are talking about L'chatchila. The question is, what does that mean in terms of being a Jew? Like if I just pointed out, like, you wouldn't say that about Avodah Zarah, probably. You couldn't say it about Avodah Zarah. Well, what could you say it about? Is it possible that you really don't need Hodas Mitzvos? Seems to be a day here in the Ramban. So some people interpreted that that's what the Rambam was talking about in Perek Yud Gimel, where he tries to explain Shlomo and Shimshon and all the interesting cases, that there really wasn't Hodas Mitzvos in those cases, or Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos. The Rav suggested that it could be. Rav assumed as Dara Pashut that there's no such thing as Geirus without Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos. And he understood that the Rambam was talking about something else, and that is, as part of the formal ceremony of induction, is it necessary that there be Hodas Mitzvos as a formal procedure. But the idea that there could be Yadus based on some ceremony of Mila and Tvila, or Hartzas Dam, or Korban, you know, without the possibility, without there being a real Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos, whatever that means. We still don't know what the scope of that Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos is. The Rav assumed as a Dara Pashut that simply could not be. Almost what Eli said before, the same idea. You can't have it. So we're showing them here or there and say, Hodas Mitzvos is not Makev, they mean Bezdin informing you at that moment as part of the process. They don't mean that in your heart and your basic commitment isn't a commitment to Asiyas HaMitzvahs. Okay. So that's one issue. But the Ramban here, it's hard to know what he means. But the point is, if there's no Hodas Mitzvahs, so then the fact that Shabbos wasn't mentioned is fine. That doesn't necessarily mean there's no Kabbalah Mitzvahs. But it could be that his Kabbalah Mitzvahs was based on whatever he thought Judaism was, which didn't include Shabbos, unfortunately, based on his knowledge at the time. There's a third possibility, and that is that what we're dealing with here is what Shlomo mentioned before, but not correct for Tosfos, but who might be correct? Who might it be correct for? There's Rishonim, and even earlier, the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Shkagos, Perek Zayin, does something interesting. Michael? What does Rambam do in Perek Zayin of the Shkagos? Exactly. It's not katan shenishban ger shenizgayer, it's ger katan shenizgayer. So the Kesef Mishnah and the Mari Korkus and the Lecha Mishnah suggest that the Rambam did this intentionally because he was bothered by Tosfos' question, and he was trying to explain that if it's ger katan, then you don't have the problem of Hodas al Mitzvos. And that explicitly is the view of the Meiri here, the Sugya, and that would work well with the Ritva in Ksuvah Staf Yud Aleph Chomer Aleph. Okay, we have to stop here. I want to speak a little more about this, what it means. But if you get a chance, look at that Rambam Hilchos Yisurei Biyah Perek Yud Gimel, and also look at one other thing: the Rambam in Hilchos Avadim Perek Ches Halacha Chaf. And if you get a chance, the Chidushi Hagram Al Rambam on that. It's not on that Rambam. It's on Parak Tes Hilchos Avodah Melacha Hey. But speaking about that Rambam, okay. I will finish this up quickly, and then we'll go back to the main point of the Day Kashavas.
Yeah, okay.